This is like half an hour after I go to bed, or an hour after I go to, actually, an hour after I go to bed. You know, it's actually quite hard because we've been doing Christmas so often for many of us to imagine how new it was for the people of Israel in the first century. You know, for so many of us, when we think about Christmas, we think about new, right? We think about new stuff. We get new stuff on Christmas. I mean, like, I have three small children, and they've been thinking about stuff for weeks on end. We love our Christmas presents, don't we? New. Some of you are here, and you've already opened your Christmas presents because you opened your Christmas presents on Christmas Eve. And again, I ask, why? Why? I'm kidding. But it's interesting that we think about new with Christmas, and we think mostly about new stuff, don't we? It's part of being, I think, in our American culture that we think about new. And when we think about new, we mostly think of acquisition. We're going to get more stuff, getting more things. And then Christmas just becomes another way that we feed the ideology of acquisition, right? And it's a real shame because new does not belong to acquisition. The new belongs to the Lord of the new. The new is the province of the Lord. It's the devil's work to make the new about getting more stuff. The new belongs to Jesus. The new belongs to Jesus, the Lord of the new. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Therefore, the Apostle Paul's words, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. And of course, the most new thing to date that this world has ever seen, a baby son born in a manger to economically poor parents, the incarnate Son of God, fully divine, fully human, birthed in relative obscurity, later sent on the run for his little life from the power of Herod. This was so new that the Jews, the very people that Jesus had come to save, I mean, of course he'd come to save all of us, but the Jews first, right? They couldn't recognize the work of God. It was so new, so they sent him to the cross. Here's how the new breaks out for some lowly shepherds. We just read this passage, heard this passage read by Ashley. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. And I'm sure the shepherds, if they could extract themselves from the terror of being addressed by the angel, would have thought, well, I can complete that sentence for you. This will be a sign to you. I'll complete that sentence. The sign will be a sword. Or the sign will be the dust cloud an army makes as it approaches the city it will conquer. But that's not what the angel says. The angel says, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And of course, could we really blame the shepherds? Because some 200 years before, if you know your intertestamental history, some 200 years before, Israel was under the power of these people called the Seleucids, right? These enemies who had conquered Israel, they'd put their idols in the temple that Ezra had rebuilt. But they were delivered, and they're delivered by this man that in some circles was called the Hammer. This man was a guy named Judas Maccabeus. Anybody familiar with that name? Yes. Judas Maccabeus, right? In fact, This man was a priest, and he was a military hero. The foot of the altar was bathed in the blood of the enemies of Israel. This, by the way, is what Hanukkah is all about. Did you know that? Did you know that Hanukkah was about the celebration of this victory, a celebration actually of the reconsecration of the temple, you know? But of course, we know that for the Israelites, they were passed from one group of people to another, and then by the time that Jesus arrives on the scene, they're now under the power of Rome. And so why wouldn't lowly shepherds think, we're going to get another one of those guys? Hammer Part 2, the sequel, right? But that doesn't happen. And if you read the Gospels carefully, you can see that just about everyone was looking forward to another hammer. But we got a new thing. Because the Lord of the new is doing a new thing. And it was so new that it took the early Christians some years to make sense of it. It's not what they expected, even though there were prophecies that the baby son would come. They wanted the hammer, but what they got instead was a baby son. They wanted deliverance from Rome, but instead they got a baby son who saved them from sin and death, the powers that animate all empires, which is far, far better news. Wouldn't you agree? And so now we're here today, this evening, because of this stupendous, amazing event in the history of the world. God become man. The Son of God become man to save us and defeat the cosmic powers of sin and death. But we're sitting here maybe, and if we're honest, we've done the Advent thing for many, many years, haven't we? We've been Christians for some time. We have done this Christmas Eve service. With all of our traditions, we will light candles in a moment. And we've done this for years. And we think, well, this doesn't feel very new, does it? And perhaps it doesn't. But I'm here to say that I think it should. Because the point of Advent, you know, when we get to Advent and we spend 4 weeks and we light these candles, of course, it's the misadventures with these candles this season. Apparently, when you put the candles underneath the vent, they go out. We didn't know that. We've been learning. But we've lit the candles. We've been doing this for 4 weeks. And the point of this is not just remembrance. We're not just here to remember the first coming. We're here to remember, to hope. You know, Advent in the church calendar has always sounded a tone not just of celebration or observance or remembrance, but also anticipation. And why would you say anticipation? Why do we say anticipation? Because Advent in the church calendar is not just about the observance of the first Advent, the first time that Jesus came. It's also about looking forward to the new thing that will happen in the world when Jesus comes back. Advent, the first coming, is the reason to hope for the second. You know, many churches around the world are reading the same passages together. You know, they're reading something that is called the lectionary, right? And so during these 4 weeks, everybody's kind of reading the same passages of Scripture together. And here's a reading from the lectionary in the Advent season. This comes from the Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 6. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep. We do not blame them at this hour. but let us be awake and sober. So what is this passage actually about? This passage is in the church calendar, in the lectionary, in the readings for Advent. And this passage is not about the first coming, it's about the second, right? It's a famous passage about Jesus coming back like a thief in the night. It's a warning to not let Advent just be a time of nostalgia or remembrance for what God has done in the past, but hope for what God will do in the future. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come. And look at the carols that we sing. Have you ever looked carefully at the carols that we sing? Have you ever wondered, well, isn't this carol supposed to be about the first coming? And then as you sing it, you think, well, wait, this doesn't feel like the first coming. This actually feels like the second coming. Let's take the carol that we're about to sing here in a moment. Joy to the world, all right? Joy to the world. Everybody knows joy to the world. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Yes, I mean, like we know that first stanza, maybe even the second stanza, are about the first coming and can be about the first coming, but let's look at the third and the fourth verse. How many of you have joy to the world memorized? Anyone? I have Joy to the World memorized because I used to be a worship leader and we had to sing it every year. And I would look at these verses and I would think, wait, what is this actually about? And it wasn't until I did a little more digging in Advent that I realized, oh, these carols are actually proleptic. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Right? And here's the fourth verse. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love and wonders of his love. What are these about? Are these about the first time that Jesus came or are these about the second time that Jesus came? Do sins and sorrows still grow? Do thorns infest the ground? Well, they still do, but they won't when he comes back again. Does he rule the world with truth and grace? Does he make the nations prove the glories of his righteousness? Well, I think he kind of does, but he will for certain when he comes back. And so the point of Advent is this: just as he came once, he will come back again. Just as he came once, he will come back again. And so Advent is lament, he has not yet come back, but also hope, he is coming back. And so if you're here today and you're like, man, Advent, man, Christmas Eve, we've done this. I've done this for decades. Some of you have done this for decades. I will not point at you. But some of you had done this for decades and you're thinking, well, what's new about Advent? Well, here's something new. What's more new than everything that is triggered when Jesus comes back again? What's more new than Jesus coming back, completely changing the world order, ruling the world with his truth and grace, and making all the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, making all the nations prove the wonders of his love? What's more new than that? What's more new than the Jesus who is the Lord of the new, bringing justice and peace to every corner of the globe? Advent is not just remembrance. It's also anticipation. And so Advent should fire up the longing in our hearts for the new. Not just the new of Christmas Eve, not just the new of Christmas morning when you open up new things, but for the Lord of the new. So let the Lord of the new come into your heart today or tonight. But the Thessalonians passage, I mean, it sounds another note, not just about Christ coming back, but also about our being ready for him to come back. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Advent is an opportunity. Christmas Eve is an opportunity to ask ourselves, are we slumbering? Are we asleep? Or are we ready? Does our heart thrill with the hope that comes from Jesus coming back again? Have we fallen asleep?
or are we ready? Look, every time we turn the page on an old year and enter the new, we have hope, don't we? That maybe some new things can happen. You know, I was listening to a podcast recently, and the podcast was doing sort of a review of all of the stories of 2021. There were things that happened in 2021 that I thought happened years ago, right? So I don't know what this is about. Maybe this is part of what it means to just live in the new world that we live in. But I was just listening to this podcast, and it was, you know, it was January 6th. We had a new president. It was like we got a vaccine. It feels like the vaccine happened a long time ago, but I guess it happened earlier this year. And I just remember listening to the podcast, I mean, because there are these people that were speaking with such bright and vivid hope. Everything is going to change by the fall. When we get to winter, man, it'll be just like it was before this pandemic started. And of course, that hasn't happened, has it? And I just think that what I'm hearing also in the podcast is like, man, maybe this next year will be a little bit different. But, you know, gosh, do you really want to leave it up to maybe? But you don't when you put your hope in the Lord of the new. You know, circumstances, right? When you think about circumstances, they're notoriously powerless to change us. We think, man, I'll just change my situation or change my circumstance, and maybe that'll change my life. And we go, wait, what happened? That didn't change anything, actually. Why? Because the change needs to actually happen in here. And so Advent is another opportunity to ask ourselves, have we Advented Jesus fully in our hearts? Maybe you are here today, and you're thinking, I want 2022 to be different. I mean, how many of you have seen the meme, 2020, T-O-O? Have anybody seen that one? It's not really good news, is it? But here's the thing. When we leave it to chance, when we leave it to sort of the vagaries of what can actually happen beyond divine providence, we really are just left with memes. And left with these flimsy hopes. But when we put our hope for direction and guidance and for the new in the Lord of the new, I am telling you, you can live a much different life. So let's wake up, if we can, from the slumber induced by this world and its never-ending pursuit of new things. And let's let Jesus Advent fully in our hearts. Even if we've been Christians for a long time, we can still open our hearts more fully to the Lord of the new and ask him, you who are making all things new, would you renew us? Would you set us on the path of the work that you are doing, the grand work that will change everything. And so as we close, would you stand? Would you stand, please? And as we are kind of like have a tendency to do here in the Vineyard, when we pray, we hold our hands open as if we were receiving. But this posture of holding our hands, like I really believe in our bodily posture, helping our hearts get somewhere sometimes, you know. We can just open our hands and we can just take a moment and invite the Lord of the new in. You just take a moment. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, the baby son, through you, we have deliverance, we have rescue, we have salvation, and we have victory. So we ask, as we turn the page on 2021, that we would step in to 2022 with you. So come. We welcome you, Jesus. And I know this is very dangerous to do because it's so late, at least late for me. But could we take just a few moments and in the quiet of our hearts, open our hearts and our hands to Jesus and invite him in? We welcome you, Lord.